This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
Tonight we're going to close Purpose Built with using a text that we use on Sunday, but a different message. The text was of a man that's well known in the Bible. His name was Zacchaeus. When I was in Sunday school as a child, we used to sing about Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. Anybody ever sing that song? He climbed up in a sycamore tree. The Lord, yeah, there you go. That's right. Justin requested he not have to sing that during praise and worship on Sunday. So let's read this. Luke 19. Here's the story. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, that behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but he could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he's gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half my goods to the poor, and if I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. As I was reading that, I got tickled just reading it. It said, and they complained that he had gone to be the guest of a man who was a sinner. You notice what it said? It didn't say, and Jesus stopped and said, oh, don't be upset. And nobody stopped. You ever notice that when people complain, Jesus never stopped what he was doing? Which tells us right now that if you're complaining a lot, it's not going to stop the Lord. Hey, I'm just sharing a revelation that came as I was teaching that. Complaining doesn't stop him, because he's motivated by love, not motivated by complaints. But let's look at the story of Zacchaeus. Before we do that, let's pray and ask the Lord to help us on this and our hearts to receive. Heavenly Father, we're grateful tonight for the opportunity just to look into your word, to receive, to hear what you have to say to us. Father, I ask that you grant me words that bring life and strength and health. And Father, I thank you that our ears are open, our hearts are open. We give you all the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I've entitled this one, Three Important Things. I talked about three on Sunday. Here are three different things. Zacchaeus was a man with hunger. He actually had a hunger to know more about Jesus. He must have heard that Jesus was different from the religious people of the day, who, by the way, didn't like him. And they didn't like him because he was a tax collector, and the chief tax collector was he's a pretty powerful guy in Jericho, and he could hurt you. This is one of these people that could hurt you, because he could come to you and tell you that your tax bill was $20,000, and you think, no, I just did my taxes. My tax bill is only $12,000. And he'd say, well, no, it's $20,000, and you better pay up $20,000, and then he could pocket $8,000, keep $12,000, or send the $12,000 to Rome. And so these guys got very wealthy. They pretty much ripped off their fellow Jews, and the Jews hated them. And so he must have heard, though, that Jesus was different from the religious people. And you see his hunger, it's revealed in his actions. We're going to talk a little bit about that tonight, that his actions reveal what was in his heart. He ran ahead and climbed a tree. Now, there's a hunger there. You're desiring something because, just think about it, you're one of the wealthiest guys in town. You're a powerful guy in town. People, you start walking down the street and people kind of get out of your way because they don't want to mess with you. And I'm sure he carried an attitude with that. But he heard about Jesus and he runs and climbs up a tree. And you're thinking, well, why would you do that? Because he wanted to see who Jesus was. That's why. He had a hunger, which indicates that wealth and power sometimes is just not enough. Oftentimes people think, if I can just have X amount of money, if I can be this kind of powerful person, what happens is when they get to that place, they realize that's not enough. And then it takes more and more. And Zacchaeus was not, he's not satisfied. He wanted to see more. He thought maybe there's more. Maybe there's more to this Jesus than I thought. And so you see him run and climb a tree, and so his actions reveal that he had a hunger for God. And what I want to talk about tonight, that's an important thing. Here's the first important thing. Hunger for God is important. In Luke, the first chapter, verse 53, I'm going to share some scriptures with you. This is actually Mary's words. Mary, the mother of Jesus, said, "He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty." He has filled the hungry with good things. So hunger is a function of our time and attention. I'll give you another scripture. Luke 12:34 says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So he's talking about hungry. You realize there is a spiritual hunger. And it's a spiritual hunger that when it's activated in your life, it's a good thing. Yes. It's a real good thing. I won't ask you for a show of hands, but many of you can remember, especially when you first came to the Lord, you couldn't get enough. Yeah. You couldn't get enough church. You couldn't get enough reading your Bible. You just couldn't get enough of the things of God. And you were just hungry. And I remember when I came back to the Lord, I was living in Clear Lake City, and I would drive to Lakewood. Lakewood was overall Wayside Drive, and I would drive to Lakewood. I didn't think twice about it. We just didn't think twice. And when I started dating Joy, I said, "This is where I go to church." We drive. I think we were 40 minutes away or 40 miles, something like that. And people are like, "Oh, God, 40 miles. 40 miles. I wouldn't drive 40 miles, 40 miles. You drive 40 miles for a good restaurant. You would think twice about it." And so the idea is, I didn't think twice about it because I was hungry. And so where your treasure is, there your heart is. Also, our heart follows our treasure. So in other words, what we value in life, that's really where our heart's going to be. And so valuing God and the things of God is really something important. And sometimes we just have to get away. And I'll tell you how to stir up hunger if you've lost some hunger. But I'm talking to Wednesday night people. You're here on Wednesday night. So you're hungry. It's a good time for you to at least agree. Hopefully you're hungry. And you came because you wanted to hear. You came because you value the things of God. And that's something that is valuable, because that becomes a treasure. And hunger can move you. When you're hungry for something, man, it can move you. It can move you in the right direction. Hunger can get you up out of the middle of the night and drive you to your refrigerator. Now, you get hungry. Man, when you're real hungry, how many know sometimes when you're hungry, you'll eat things you normally would not eat? And when you're hungry, you're just like, there's a drive in you and a hunger in you. Well, there's a spiritual hunger that's in people. This is what's in Zacchaeus. There's a hunger. He wants to know about God. He wants to see God. There's something on the inside of everybody that says, "I want to know who created me. Why am I here? What's the reason for my being?" And there's something inside of all of us that wants to know God. And when you begin to find Him, in fact, some NFL coaches do not like it when their players get born again, because when they get born again, they say they lose some of their drive. And the reason they lose some of their drive is, and that's an overgeneralization, but what's happening is, when you're satisfied on the inside, then sometimes you might look at football and go, "That's only a game." But when you're satisfied on the inside, things that used to move you don't move you as much anymore. And you're like, "Man, there's such a satisfaction." Jesus said, "If you come to me and drink, I'll give you living water. You won't thirst again." There's something on the inside of us. And so the psalmist talked about some things. And in Psalms 119, it talks about a hunger and a treasuring of God's word. Now look at, I'm going to give you three scriptures here. Look at this one. "The law of your mouth," this is the psalmist speaking to God, "the law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins of gold and silver. Your testimonies I've taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. Therefore I love your commandments more than gold, yes, than fine gold." That's a different thought. That's how I love God's word. Now here's something that will help you. If you look at the Bible and go, "Okay, I got to read my Bible." Here's something that would help you. If you just say, "I love to read my Bible." I think a lot of times we talk ourselves out of it. If you were, okay, let me talk to you single people out there. You're single, you meet someone, and you think, all right, now, this one has potential. And you agree to meet at a restaurant. And you're at the restaurant, and they come walking in. They're like, "Oh, hey, Yeah, let me sit down here just for a minute. What you got? Ladies, if you got a guy that does that, I suggest you have a backup plan. Like a plan B. Like your friend to call you within 10 minutes with an emergency situation that you have to attend. Oh, my phone's blowing up. I got to go. Get out of there. Why? Because if you got someone comes dragging in going, hey, okay, I guess we got to do this date. No. You want somebody that's going to come in at least bring their A game to the table. I got any single people in here? Oh, four? Okay, there's four of you. Okay, four single people out there. Would you want them to bring their A game? Would you want them to at least be interested? If they come dragging in like somebody forced them, well, I guess I said I'm going to go on this date, so here I am. That's not interesting. That's not good. You need to abandon that. You need to say, you know, did I tell you that I had a disease? I didn't share that with you. I'm out. But if you drag, how do you think the Lord feels? Like, okay, Lord, I'm going to read your word. Just a chapter. I'm not reading any more. Wouldn't it help you just to go, I love to read God's word? Do you know you can acquire a taste for it? Oh, yeah, you can. You can acquire a taste for a lot of things. There's some people who used to hate vegetables until the doctor looked at them and said, if you don't eat vegetables, you're going to be dead. And they went, oh, okay. And they started eating vegetables. And they're eating stuff now that they wouldn't have eaten a few years ago. And guess what? You can develop a taste for vegetables. Anybody out there has a taste for vegetables? Yeah, okay. Maybe you were the biggest carnivore that came. It's like, but you're like, no, I want to live. So I'm going to eat, I'm going to acquire a taste for vegetables. Boy, y'all are lively tonight. Can I? I'm just going to keep moving. Someone told me one time that I could acquire a taste for scotch. And man, I tasted it and I thought, man, this is horrible. It's expensive and horrible. And a guy looked at me and said, but it's so cool. He said, you look so cool. You're 22 years old. You're drinking scotch. I said, I hate it. He said, you'll get used to it. Really? Somebody's like, someone told me that about apple cider vinegar, but they lied. I've had that stuff. That's just flat nasty. Can I get an eight? Yeah, thank you. Somebody came alive on that one. Like, yes, yes. Truth, the man speaking truth now. Okay, here's the deal. We can determine what we treasure. We can make a determination to treasure God and His Word and His things. Now, here's what happens is you say, well, Alan, I used to be hungry, and I don't know what happened. My hunger just got dulled down. In Luke, the 21st chapter, Jesus addresses this. He said, watch out. Don't let your hearts be dull by carousing and drunkenness and by the worries of this life. Don't let that day catch you unaware. Now, what he's saying is you can dull down your heart. Remember the first scripture he read? He fills the hungry, but the rich he has sent away. That word rich actually means the full. You're full. Here's the deal. You can get so full of life and stuff and worry and things, it tamps down the hunger for God. Anybody ever been on a retreat where you've made a spiritual retreat? Where you've gone away for, have you ever noticed what happens? You go away for a couple of days, you're not caught up in all this stuff, maybe you put your phone away, and what you put your phone away, some of you, Trace Diaz. I hear great things about that. I hear great things about the walk of Emmaus. You know what the benefit of that is? For a few days, what you do is you put everything else, all the worries of life, all the other stuff, there's no partying, you put it all behind you, And you're like, for 3 days, you're in the Word, you're listening, you're around Christians, you're hearing good stuff, you're praying, you're reading. What happens? You get that hunger stirred up again. And people get the hunger stirred up again, and they'll come back and they'll say things like, oh my gosh, oh, it's like I got born again again. No, you didn't get born again again. What happened is actually you woke up spiritually, and now there's a hunger again. So here's the great deal. If you said, Lord, let me just be honest, Lord, I've lost some of my hunger for you. Then here's the deal. Put down some of the other stuff that's filling you up and spend some time with Him, and that hunger will come back again. And you can stir it up. Now listen, in January, we're going to send our young people. And we had a couple step up here at the church, man, and they really helped us. So we're going to send we're going to send more young people on retreat this January than we've ever been able to. It's wonderful. Here's the deal. We make them check their phones when they get there. Drives their parents nuts because they can't hover over them. But anyway, we make them check their phones. And when they go, these kids come back fired up. They're around other Christians. They're hearing messages. They're worshiping. Man, they come back fired up. And you're thinking, what happened? I wish they could stay that way. Well, what happens is you get back in, and the routines of life and the worries and all the stuff. And what's it do? It starts to weigh you down. How many of you notice that if you'll stay in church, you stay hungrier for church? If you get out and you're out for a long time, then it kind of becomes, well, whatever. True? And so hunger is important. What we treasure is important. And if you realize, I'm spiritually, I'm starting to sense I'm not where I used to be. Thank God you can get back to where you were. And you can get that hunger again. And that hunger is good. So Zacchaeus had a hunger. Here's the second thing Zacchaeus said. Zacchaeus was a man with some faith. Zacchaeus had to hear from Jesus first. Now, I want you to listen to me real clearly on this, because I'm going to make a very simple point, but it's a powerful point. He did not call out to the Lord or invite Him to his house. Zacchaeus wasn't in that tree going, Jesus, why don't you come to my house? I got some good food. Come on, Jesus. Hey, Jesus. Would you come? He didn't do that. Because Zacchaeus, he didn't even know if Jesus would accept him. Remember, all the other religious people looked at Zacchaeus and went, he's a sinner. And so he'd lived with that for a long time. He didn't know if Jesus would accept him or not. So he's not inviting Jesus to his house. So he'd been rejected. But when Zacchaeus knew what Jesus wanted, when he knew that Jesus accepted him, when he knew that Jesus wanted to have dinner with him, he came down out of that tree. But he had to see Jesus come and go, hey, Zacchaeus, called his name. Hey, Zacchaeus, come on down. I gotta stay with you today. Once he knew what Jesus' will was, he had faith to operate on it. Yes. He could do it. You say, well, Alan, why are you making that point? We all know that point. No. What happens is a lot of times people say, I don't know if I have faith, or do I have faith, or I can't have faith. And a lot of times we'll ask you, what are you basing your faith on? You need to have scripture that you're basing your faith on. You need to hear from Him. If you went to the Taco Cabana right after here, and you sat down at Taco Cabana, and you're just sitting there, and you saw someone from church, they say, hey, what are you doing? I'm sitting here waiting on Pastor Allen. What for? I just believe he's going to come buy me a meal at Taco Cabana. Why do you believe that? Well, all things are possible to him that believes. I just believe it's possible for Pastor Allen to come buy me a meal at Taco Cabana. What should be your next question? Did Allen say he was going to come buy you a meal? No. Does he know you? No, he doesn't know who I am. I've been here at the church for a long time. I sit in the back. He didn't know me. Okay, so you're sitting here in Taco Cabana. You were waiting for Pastor Allen to come buy you a meal at Taco Cabana when he didn't tell you he would, and he doesn't even know who you are. Yeah. What would you encourage that person to do? You'd probably give him some money. Like, bro, I'm going to buy you something to eat, but he ain't coming. He's not coming. Why? You have no basis for sitting there believing he's coming. Zacchaeus had no basis of going, Jesus, we're eating together today, right? Right? No. Not until Jesus came and stood underneath his tree and said, Zacchaeus, come on down, I'm going to your house. When he knew what Jesus wanted, then he had faith to act on that. And then he moved on that. Listen, if you're believing, sometimes we'll come up and pray with people. I'll go, what are you standing on? Have you ever heard that script? Somebody ask you, what are you standing on? Well, I was standing on the floor. No, we're not talking about that. What are you standing on spiritually? Is there something that you're basing your faith on? Romans 10:17 says this, look, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So when we know God's word, we know his will. And when we know his will, we have the faith to act on that. Now, I'm going to give you a very basic thing that many of us, especially in this church, and many of us grew up with, we know this. But I'm going to give you what's a well-known passage in Romans, the same chapter, the 10th chapter. Let's look at this, Romans 10. Let's look at 8 through 10. But what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That's the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. How many of you are familiar with that passage right there? You've read that or heard that or seen that. And so you know that passage. We grew up knowing that passage. If someone came after service and sat down here at the front and they said, and you said, hey, can I pray with you? And you said, yeah, I want to get saved, but I don't know if God wants me to be saved. And if I looked at them and said, I'm looking at you and I don't either. I don't know either. I really, you look kind of scrappy. I don't know if that's what the Lord has for you or not. If you were standing by and they got up and they're dejected, they're leaving, they're walking out, how many of you would probably catch him and go, I don't know what's gotten into him, but you listen, the Lord wants you to be saved. In fact, if you believe, do you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord? Yeah, I believe that. Will you confess him as your Lord and Savior right now? Yeah, I'll do that. Then you'll be, how many of you know, you wouldn't let someone just walk out the door like that. You'd say, no. We know that's God's will because we've been hearing salvation for a long time. There used to be people, actually, guys, it wasn't 70 years ago in America, the people would come and they would come to the altar and they would pray and they would pray and pray and pray and tarry, they're called tarrying to be saved. And they would pray whether or not that God, you know, you ask them, I said, what are you doing down here? I'm praying, I'm tarrying. Tarrying for what? I'm just trying to talk God in the notion of saving me. People say, well, you need to wait a lot longer. You need to give this up. You need to shave your mustache. You need to get rid of that makeup. You need to do a lot of gymnastics. And then we're like, what? Thank God for the revelation to begin to come out that, listen, if you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, and if you're willing to confess him with your mouth, you don't have to give up or do this or do that. You're saved right then. That's it. That's wonderful. So that gives us the basis to look to someone and say, oh, darling, you don't have to tarry. You can receive the Lord as your Savior right now because you know his word. So, when you're dealing with something in life, one of the best questions is, what does God's word say about this? If I ask for a show of hands, and I'm not going to, if I ask for a show of hands of how many people are dealing with a problem that they just don't have an answer for, Alan's one. Alan has, church this size, how do you know we have challenges that come up? I've got that wife I live with, I've got all this. No, Joy is not my problem. But how do you know that challenges come up in a situation like this? And sometimes you're looking at it going, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. So if I keep going to the Lord going, I'll know what to do. I don't know what to do. I have no idea what to do. And we've all done that, haven't we? Someone go, hey, man, what you going to do? I have no idea what I'm going to do. And we just say, so after a while, we built up a lot of faith and we have no idea what to do. But yet there's a wonderful scripture. It's in James. It's in the first chapter, verse 5. I love this scripture. Alan needs this scripture in his life. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Amen. You see what that verse does right there? That verse gives me faith that I can ask God and God can give me wisdom. Does that make sense? Yes. So my faith is based. I have a basis for my faith. Zacchaeus wasn't coming out of that tree until he knew what Jesus wanted. I could be praying all over the place, but when I know what God already desires to do, then it makes it a lot easier. I go, well, Lord, you said you would give me liberally and without reproach. You know what that reproach is? Have you ever come to someone and go, I got a question, and you tell them the question, they look at you and go, that's stupid. And you think to yourself, I'll never ask them another question again, because they make you feel bad. Aren't you glad? Listen, there's no one walking the earth right now who impresses God with his intelligence. No one's going to come up and go, Lord, I'm going to share this with you. And the Lord will go, whoa, whoa, whoa. Now, that's impressive right there. I don't think so. When the Bible says we're his little children, we're his little children. And so, listen, when we run out of wisdom, we just need to say, Heavenly Father, please. I need to know this. And he's not going to let you go, oh, what a stupid question. The Bible says he gives liberally and without reproach. So, in other words, he's not going to make fun of you. He's not going to mock you. And sometimes I think people are afraid to ask because there's like, I just feel like I'm so stupid asking this question. Listen, the Bible said the entrance of his words give light. It gives understanding to the simple. It was a helpful day when I realized, Lord, I am a simple man compared to you. And I know nothing compared to you. And so I need your wisdom in my life. And this gives me the ability to come and ask. And God's not going to go, are you back again for wisdom? Didn't I just give you some wisdom last week? You need more now? How many of you know God's like, oh, okay. How many of you know God's got plenty of wisdom? Like, he's abundant in wisdom. In fact, his attitude's a whole lot different. It's like your little two-year-old coming to you and going, Daddy, there's a boogeyman underneath my bed. And you don't go, stupid two-year-old. No, you go, darling, that's your brother. That's not a boogeyman. It's going to be all right. And you're going to treat a little... How many of you realize to our Heavenly Father when you come asking for wisdom, he's not looking at you shaking your head going, that's stupid, that's so stupid, that's stupid. He gives you liberally without reproach. If anyone lacks wisdom, guys, listen, we've got a basis. Now we've got a basis for faith. So now if you're praying for someone and go, I got a situation with my family and my kid, and my kid's having a hard time in school, and I just don't know what to do, I believe God knows what to do. And so we can say, Father, I need wisdom. And I've heard people say, well, I don't want to bother the Lord. Listen, that verse gives me the opportunity to bother him. Yes. And how many of you know it's not bothering him? God's not irritated. It's not like he's like, oh man, I got so many things. I got problems in India, and I got this situation going on in China, and I got Russia. What to do with Russia? I'm just, what do you need? I need help with my child. Lord. Okay, 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 okay. How many know God's got it all handled?
That's right.
He ain't sweating in heaven. He's not like, whoa, what a day. Prayers came from all over today. What is up today? Everybody needs wisdom. Wisdom. Everybody needs wisdom. You think people wouldn't have enough wisdom? I mean, no, we got a gracious Heavenly Father, and he's like, you need wisdom, and we got a national crisis over here, and I'll give you wisdom for your 8-year-old, and I'll help you solve this national crisis, and he can deal with your business situation, and also help you with your marriage, and he ain't breaking a sweat. It is not a problem. But don't go to him on just the basis of your need. Go to him on the basis of what he's already said. Find, this is why you hear me say all the time, find a scripture you can stand on. Hey, y'all listen so well, you got me through half of the message. But But how many believe this is important? Because oftentimes you hear people say, well, I'm just going to scatter shot with some prayers. And like I'm going to shoot a shotgun into heaven and heaven, hope something sticks. Listen, you don't have to throw some prayers up into heaven and hope something sticks. You can go to the Lord on the basis of His Word. Well, Alan, I'm not a preacher. It didn't say if any preacher lacked wisdom. It said if any man lacks wisdom. So that gives me the basis of going, oh, that's me. Would you help me? And the answer is yes. So how can you say yes? How do you know that God will help me? Because that's what He said in His Word. And His Word reveals His will. And that gives us confidence. We do it every time we pray for salvation. We can do it for other things as well. We find His Word, and that's what we stand on. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You that Your Word reveals Your will, that Your desire for people to have freedom, for Your people Your desire for Your people, Father, to walk in wisdom, to walk in light, to walk in understanding, that You're the God who gives light, and there is no darkness with You. So, Father, thank You that You grant us wisdom. So many of us in here tonight, Father, need wisdom in different situations, maybe multiple situations. But Father, thank You that we can ask You and we can thank You and believe we receive our answer. And thank You before we ever see it, knowing that You're faithful, You're good, and we can rest in that and rest in You. So we thank You for that. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you came this evening and said, Alan, I've never done what you put up on the screen tonight. I've never believed in my heart and confessed with my mouth that Jesus is my Lord, but I want to do that. Or maybe you're one that you've done what I've done. Maybe you did that and you got away from God and you realize tonight, I want to come back to God. I want to have a close relationship with Him. I've been away from Him. I don't want to live this way. I want to live closer to Him. We're going to say a very simple prayer, but this is a heart prayer, and this is a prayer that changes things. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I am going to ask you to do one thing. If that's you that I'm talking to, you say, Alan, that's me. Would you pray for me? Just shoot your hand up real quick across the auditorium and we'll pray. Thanks. 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 Thank you. Thank you. Great. Thank you. Anybody else? Super. Thank you. You can put your hands down. We'll pray. Maybe you didn't lift your hand. You were just kind of debating and thinking, I really wanted to do that. Listen, you can pray this prayer with us. We're going to pray it out loud. You pray it with us. This is why we pray out loud. We can confess, believe in our heart and confess with our mouth. So I'm going to lead you into prayer. Church, whole church family is going to pray with you. Say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. And I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe You're the Son of God. I believe You died on the cross for my sins. And God raised You from the dead. Right now, I confess You as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank You, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with You. I'm a new creation in Christ because I said yes to You. Father, thank You for those that prayed that prayer tonight. Father, for those who have stepped out of darkness into Your marvelous light. Father, thank You for Your goodness. And thank You, Father, for those who've come back home, that You welcome them with open arms. We give You all the praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about The Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.